Greetings, everyone. I am Ben Hensel, and I'm Craig Biocraft Laboratories Investor Relations Representative. I'll be introducing Kim Thompson, Craig Labs CEO and founder, as well as John Rice, Craig Labs COO. But first, I'd like to thank them for allowing me to be part of this amazing company. From the first time that I heard about Kim Thompson's vision, I knew that this was a technological game changer, and I'm proud to help spread the word. In fielding calls from around the world, I know that I'm blessed to be a small part of such a special project. Management will make an opening statement, and then we'll go to a question and answer forum. Kim?
Thank you, Ben. My name is Kim Thompson. As many of you know, I'm the CEO of the company, and I'm joined here also by our COO, John Rice. Good afternoon to everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you to our conference call. I want to especially welcome our shareholders. Each of our shareholders is an important, integral part of what we do here at Craig Labs, and John and I think about and talk about our shareholders every single day. As most of you know, Craig Labs is a leading developer of advanced spider silk-based fibers, but we're moving now from R&D to commercialization. Over the last year, we've been putting many of the pieces in place to make the transition to commercialization and to help us maintain our leadership position. This call is to help outlay the commercialization roadmap and share our vision moving forward by discussing the foundation that's in place and the concrete steps that we plan on taking to reach our goals. First, as many of you know, we have been in discussions with the government of Vietnam about establishing production of spider silk in that country. There are a number of reasons for that and why we've taken that approach, which I've been talking with Ben. I believe some of that will be covered in the question and answer session coming forward. But as part of my general comments here, I want to bring everyone a little bit up to speed. One of the reasons we're looking at Vietnam is because of the excellent infrastructure that they have in place for silk production. We know from our current pilot production program that our technology can fit in very nicely, very quickly and efficiently into existing silk infrastructure. Vietnam has the infrastructure in place for not only producing silk and allowing us to ramp up relatively quickly, but also for quality control. That's something that really is frankly lacking in our current pilot production facility, quality control. And so we're looking for a place to invest where there is current excellent silk production, where there are trained people and expertise and everything that's necessary to produce a quality product in large volume. It's, I think, fair to say that we are getting very close to a finalized deal with the government of Vietnam. We have a proposal in place right now. A full agreement has been drafted and is going through their comment process. And we have someone in Vietnam right now who's shepherding the agreement through that process. We're looking at the potential to set up our project in Lam Dong province. And we are also working right now on creating a Craig Labs subsidiary in Vietnam. This has been a lengthy process. There are a number of steps, both mechanical and bureaucratic, that need to that have had to have been accomplished in order to get where we're at in that process, because this is a unique, one-of-a-kind project. No one has ever launched a project quite like what we are talking with Vietnam about doing here. We have signed on an office in Ho Chi Minh City, and we are looking right now for a suitable production facility in Lam Dong province. We've worked hard over the last few years to develop remarkable new fibers and related technologies, and to position ourselves to move those technologies from the laboratory and into the marketplace. It's my pleasure to introduce to you our COO, John Rice. We brought John into the company at the beginning of the year to help lead our transition from laboratory development and initial pilot production to commercialization. He's done a remarkable job, and has been nearly indispensable in positioning the company to where we are now. In addition, and also the big part of our positioning the technologies for commercialization, John has revitalized our internal quality control, which is, in my opinion, directly responsible for the significant improvements in fiber performance we have seen over the last three quarters. John?
Thank you, Kim. As founder of the company and the creator of the technology concept, you've been an indispensable part in the company's success to date. You created the company with a set of ideas, and you've really worked to bootstrap it to the organization that we have today. So thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this. As you mentioned, we've had a number of tremendous strides in 2015, particularly from the lab. So I'd like to take a moment to highlight some of those before we take questions. First, I'd like to thank the University of Notre Dame. The collaborative research agreement we have in place between Dr. Fraser's lab and ourselves has been a fundamental to the material science and the breakthroughs that we've achieved to date. Dr. Fraser, Dr. Young-So Kim, and Dr. Sun have been instrumental in the incredible scientific progress we've made to date. Any announcements coming from Craig Labs is really a reflection of the scientific breakthroughs that have come from thousands of hours of the work of that team. As you mentioned before, the quantitative measurement systems that we've been able to put in place in 2015 have allowed us to improve generation upon generation in terms of performance of our genetic lines. We're now carrying 11 different stable genetic lines, as well as 7 additional developmental strains that we're testing now. Dragon Silk, which we introduced earlier this year, is now a product that's ready for scale and sale. While R&D will continue to happen, it's no longer a necessary step for us to create products that are ready for market. It'll be the first of our new materials that we'll be delivering to partners and collaborators. In recent months, we've teamed with a globally recognized performance apparel innovator to develop applications for our silk. The first test articles was just produced in late November, and we're excited for the next step in that partnership. Working with Warwick Mills, we've recently produced our first hybrid woven fabrics, combining both monster silk with a synthetic. As we'd hoped, the material is blended well and opens the opportunity for future blended fabrics and products. We're now in the process of developing pure silk fabrics, which we will be evaluating for their ballistics performance. With that, Ben, I think we're ready for the Q&A session.
Great. Just so you know, some of the questions that I'm going to ask you are verbatim versions of what was submitted to me, and while others are a mashup of several parallel questions. So the first one is, please comment on the advantages and disadvantages of Craig's technology in relation to what you know of the competitors' technologies, including price.
Okay, Ben, so that's a good question. We believe that there is a very significant market for these advanced materials, for spider silk-based polymers. And so, of course, with those types of dollars at stake, it's no surprise that other companies are attempting to develop their own technologies. We believe that we have some significant competitive advantages over those technologies. The competitors that I'm somewhat familiar with are attempting to produce spider silks based upon fermentation, and genetic engineering of bacteria. And one of the essential components of that process is incredibly high production costs. The last estimates I saw were in excess of $100,000 per kilogram. Now, undoubtedly, progress has been made to reduce those costs, and those companies will continue to make, I hope, rapid progress in reducing the costs. But there is an inherent efficiency to the Craig Lab system, which relies upon the domesticated silkworm. And that's because the domesticated silkworm is already a commercial producer of quality fabrics. About $5 billion a year at the raw fiber level of silk is produced currently with current mundane production methods. And so it's our genetically engineered silkworm, genetically engineered to produce spider silk polymers and proteins, is a natural fit, and there is a tremendous, in my opinion, cost advantage that we have over all of the rival systems that I have seen. And additionally, there are some environmental advantages. Our system is clean and green excuse me, whereas many of these other systems require doping chemicals in order to put the proteins into dissolve the proteins and to enable them to be extruded into a fiber. So I think we've got some significant advantages environmentally, importantly, cost-effectively, and in the natural formation of our silk proteins into silk fibers by the very silkworms themselves. I think overall we have the best technology.
Do you plan on looking into alternate spider silk production methods such as bacteria or yeast in the future?
We're interested in understanding and exploring all options for production. And I am trying to follow developments in those fields. And with that said, we think that our current approach is the best. It has tremendous inherent strengths. But I am not opposed to expanding our portfolio of technologies.
What is your plan for financing moving forward?
As our shareholders know, we have an ongoing financing agreement with Halmseas Capital. That financing relationship has allowed us to finance our operations to date, and it is allowing us to finance current growth. Once we've achieved our near-term commercialization goals, we anticipate uplisting to a higher exchange, and we believe that that will allow us to access larger amounts of capital needed to significantly upscale the operations.
Are there any current discussions concerning a merger or buyout with KBLB?
We're not currently in discussions, as we believe Craig becomes a much more valuable target once we move into production. However, we may consider purchasing an asset as part of our uplisting strategy.
Since Kim was so thrilled about the lab lease, why did the company abandon it?
Okay, so that question is about the laboratory space that we were renting virtually across the street from the University of Notre Dame. At the time we took that lab space, we took it because it was needed. We were managing a very large number of transgenic silkworm lines, juggling a lot of research and development, and we needed that laboratory space. As our shareholders know, I am rather frugal, and I don't like to spend money where it's not needed. But at the time we took that space, it was needed, and it was a godsend to us. But in the last year, that space has been underutilized. The laboratory hasn't needed it. The operations have become, in many ways, more efficient inside the main laboratory at Notre Dame, and we've not needed that space. Once we saw that it was underutilized and wasn't a good place for us to be spending money, we canceled the lease. It's as simple as that.
The company mentioned a new technology. Was this developed by Sigma Aldrich? And if not, is there anything that you're able to say about this new technique?
Okay, the technique that was mentioned was not developed by Sigma Aldrich. It's a new genetic engineering protocol, which we are implementing. It's a very exciting technique that allows for advanced editing of the DNA of the silkworm. Like many of the tools that we've used at Craig Labs, the tools were not initially designed for silkworm, and we have had to modify and change and adapt and learn how to use these tools in this unique organism. We're in that process right now, but we do believe that this technology is really the gateway and threshold for producing our goals of pure spider silk.
Kim, you indicated that small shipments of monster silk were sent to Warwick Mills and possibly to other companies. Can you quantify these shipments in metric tons?
The shipments were not in metric tons. They were in kilograms.
Why didn't Craig have representation at the ITMA Awards?
So for those who are not aware, Craig Laboratories was nominated for an award or actually a series of awards for advanced textiles. And between the timing and the expense, we decided to pass on sending a representative to Italy for the award ceremony, but we do envision attending future ceremonies We have been in communication with some of the participants and are developing relationships with some of those companies. These are all companies that, although they're working on very different technologies than ours, share some of our concepts and ideas for advanced materials as they relate to fabrics and fibers.
Craig was supposed to produce metric ton capacity in 2014 and announced better than the expected results at the pilot production facility. So the company was looking to further expand its output. But in October's SpiderSense newsletter, it stated that the company is only producing small batches. Did Craig achieve metric ton milestone and decide to scale back production efforts? If not, how do you reconcile these statements?
Okay, so that's another good question. So we are not producing metric ton quantities at the pilot production facility. That facility does have that capacity, and I believe that we could produce many metric tons of material at that facility. We did report early on that production was increasing, and it was, and we do have an ability to increase it further. But we also began looking at the quality of the material that was coming out of that facility. And although we can produce a very large quantity of the material, or a relatively large quantity, many metric tons, it didn't make any sense when looking at the quality of this material. In short, when we ship a product sample to a potential customer or a potential collaborative partner, it's important that that material reflect the properties of spider silk, of the strength and elasticity, so that these potential partners can see what our material can do. And frankly, we weren't seeing that out of the QC coming out of the pilot production facility. The main problem really there with quality control was local infrastructure. Yes, we have infrastructure necessary for actually producing raw fiber, but not the infrastructure necessary to take that fiber, process it, and spin it into a quality product that maintains our standards of quality control. And we feel strongly that with a customer, we have potentially one real chance at making that impression, and especially for a new material that's first coming out of the market. It's one of the reasons we've been looking more and more at countries like Vietnam that have very established production of silk and excellent quality control, because we know from what we've seen at the pilot production program that we can take our genetically modified silkworm, feed that into that infrastructure, and what we're going to get out is something similar in quality control as to what they're producing natively there in terms of not the material strength. Certainly our material strength is going to be significantly improved over any other silk product, but in terms of general quality control over silk. And that's the reason we haven't ramped up a production there to the metric ton levels. We could have done that. We could have spent the money to do that, but to what effort? So that we could put out a press release saying we've produced metric tons? I didn't really see the point in that, not in producing material and warehousing it. We want to produce material that we can stand behind, have confidence in, send it out to potential development partners, and have it knock their socks off.
Why did Kim choose Vietnam?
Well, I think we've somewhat addressed that, but it's mainly because of the existing silk infrastructure. I mean, let's be frank. We'd love to do this here in the United States and set up this production facility here in the United States. But the reality is we just don't have the silk infrastructure here. To do this on a cost-effective basis, and frankly, we have to do everything on a cost-effective basis. We're a relatively small company. We need to plug into existing silk production infrastructure. We looked at a number of countries, a number of locations. Frankly, Vietnam's not the only place we're looking at. But Vietnam is a fantastic place for this project. Excellent quality control, excellent potential to expand their current silk production, and local people who are eager to work hard and who see the potential in expanding markets for Vietnamese silk.
why hasn't Vietnam signed a cooperative agreement in a timely manner? The MARD document, number 10246, BNNCN, advising of the halt, was signed late December 2014. Could the wait be due to the governmental protocols that caused the agencies to address issues of this nature solely around this time of year?
Okay, so this question obviously comes from someone who's been following events very closely. So what the shareholders may or may not know is that in January of this year, I flew to Vietnam and had a series of meetings in Hanoi with the central government and also out in the province with the local government and with business people. Those meetings went very well. And the delay, the length of time it's taken to get to where we're at right now, which I believe is getting pretty close to a final deal, has been caused really by issues of bureaucracy and dealing with numerous different governmental agencies and levels of government. From our perspective, certainly we wish things could go a lot faster. But from a larger perspective, people on this call, I think, largely realize this is a truly unique project. No one has ever created spider silk production on any real scale before with transgenic silkworms. This is new, and when anything is new, it does cause, I want to say, delays as the bureaucracy looks at it, right? And that has really been the issue in Vietnam. It hasn't been the result of any malevolence or anybody trying to delay us. In fact, the reception has been incredibly positive in Vietnam by government at every level. But there are certain hurdles that need to be accomplished in their governmental process, and we've been working through those.
What is plan B if Vietnam doesn't happen? Does the company have a backup plan, and is India still a future consideration?
So yes, although we're very excited about Vietnam, we are not putting all of our eggs in that basket. And we are looking at several other locations, and we are also maintaining our current pilot production facility, and we are working on improving the infrastructure at that facility as well. So we don't really want to leave ourselves in a position where we're exposed to only one production location. You mentioned India specifically. India is an excellent place for silk production. They do have good infrastructure there. But with bureaucracy, excuse me, with India, the issue really is bureaucracy and the length of time it would take to navigate all of the bureaucratic channels.
As CEO, do you still think waiting on Vietnam production was the right business choice instead of starting smaller and having sales by now?
Well, I don't feel that we've really been waiting on Vietnam. We are certainly, while we've been going through this process in Vietnam, we have expended significant energies on that process. We've also been moving forward in other areas. So I don't think we are waiting. But it's also true that lack of quality production, has been a major issue for the company. And it's true we frankly could have produced much larger quantities at the pilot production facility, and we probably could have sold those materials and achieved some level of commercialization by now. But frankly, I don't think that would have been the right thing to do. The material coming out of that facility did not have the quality control that really met our standards, and I think that those sales would have come back to haunt us. I think we only have one chance to really get this right, and we intend to get it right. And I'm not going to stand behind our pumping a product into the market that's not up to our specifications. I think that would be a recipe for, you know, short-term great press releases and short-term nice blips on our financials, but I don't think that's how you build and grow a company. And we are looking, frankly, at this company at very large markets. We think the potential is that Craig Labs could become a significant company. I think that we would jeopardize that future if we began shipping materials that were not really up to the quality standards that people would expect.
How many silkworm strains do you currently have, and where are we at in terms of commercialization process for Big Red, Spider Pillar, Dragon Silk, and any other recombinant fibers. In 2012, you spoke about Generation 2 Pure Spider Silk being in advanced development stage. Are any of these that fiber? And if not, will any of these be designated second or third generation fibers? And lastly, were any of these designed with a particular customer in mind?
So, John, you've been spending time in the laboratory on quality control. Why don't you take this one?
Certainly. So, from the founding of the company, we've been focused on developing the best performing fibers. Currently, we're carrying 11 different unique transgenic lines. We've got another 7 that we have in development now. We're just waiting for final results. As new research comes online, we're constantly reassessing that and looking for the best path forward. Big Red, Dragon Silk, those are perfect examples of great materials. No, they're not pure spider silk, but what we found through our testing and our research is that fibers and materials that aren't pure spider silk can have the capacity to outperform pure spider silk. So in that regard, we're more focused on delivering a great material than delivering material that is 100% spider silk. So Dragon Silk is the next evolution of our development in hybrid silks. It is a combination of both natural silkworm proteins and spider silk. And yes, we are continuing to develop spider PLR in the lab.
The company announced that Dragon Silk's tensile strength was as high as 1.79 gigapascals. Have you been able to increase this or bring the average tensile strength of these fibers up to this level? Is there still an ongoing effort to create even stronger fibers that top the strength of Dragon Silk? And when will you publicly release the properties of your recombinant silks?
So, John, I think this is another good question for you. For my two cents, I think the answer is yes, we've been able to increase these average tensile strengths. John?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. We are definitely looking to continue to improve on the performance of our materials, without a doubt. So, yes, we'd reported 1.79 gigapascals in strength for our materials. We have seen improvements in excess of that. We are now seeing as high as 2 gigapascals and above from the Dragon Silk line, and that's come through our process of selective breeding as we move forward. We're looking to move Dragon Silk into a larger batch production here in early 2016. And I think your last question was regarding public release of information. I think that's one area where I think the company has done a better job than anyone else in the industry. If you notice, we're the only ones talking about the actual elasticity of our materials or the tensile strength of our materials. Our competitors aren't doing that. Our competitors aren't having their data peer-reviewed by scientific publications. This is one area where I think Craig Labs is certainly leading the industry.
So there is an ongoing effort to create an even stronger fibers that top that of top the strength of Dragon Silk?
Absolutely.
Why has the company had such a hard time following up with shareholders on past press releases, like Big Red, and how are you going to change that going into the future? Now, gentlemen, with all due respect, I'd actually like to make a comment about this, because I believe that the company's done an amazing job of information flow, especially for an R&D biotech company. And there is an easy way to quantify that. All you have to do is an internet search and see how many results that come up for this company. I think it compares quite favorably to many big board listings, actually.
Thank you, Ben. Let me put in a couple of two cents here, too. We are a biotechnology company which is competing in what we believe to be a market of significant size, with aggressive competitors. I think that if you look at what other biotechnology companies are putting out about the state of their R&D, the properties of their materials, their plans for early stage commercialization, I think trying to be objective about it, I think that we put out more information than most other companies in that category, certainly than any other company that's involved in Spider Silk. But I do understand the shareholders are an integral part of what we're doing here. They have an investment in the company, and they're eager to know what's happening on a continuous basis within the company. And so I understand this question, and I hope the shareholders understand, too, that certain information about our technologies that we safeguard is being safeguarded from others that want to use that information against us. I know, as a fact, there is a laboratory somewhere in the world I'm not going to identify that has a large number of scientists, and as of 2 years ago, the last time I had information about this, at every workstation in that laboratory was a printout of the screenshot of Craig Laboratory's website. On every desk, that's what I've been told by a reputable source. So I know that people in high technology are following what we do. They look at every word of our press releases. Maybe are gracing us with their presence here on this conference call, and they certainly are reading everything that we put out in the scientific literature. So, you know, have at it, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to meet you in the marketplace competing for ideas. We think we have the best ideas, but we also think that we could do a better job of communicating, especially with our shareholders. John has really taken the lead in creating Spider Sense, which is our quarterly newsletter. We hope to continue to implement that and expand it. And I frankly think that I could do a better job in communicating with our shareholders. And even if it's sometimes to say, we can't tell you about this about some detail of this, but here's what we can tell you about. John and I are very much aware of what we owe our shareholders.
Does KBLB have a production agreement with Warwick Mills to produce clothing or fabric, and do they have the capacity to accommodate production for Craig Labs?
Our agreement with Warwick Mills is a development agreement, and it's an agreement predicated on our collaborating with Warwick to develop new textiles. Now, Warwick Mills has excellent capacities well beyond developing new textiles, and frankly, we'll have to see in the coming months where that takes us.
Due to technical difficulties, we had to end the phone conference. We will now pick up with where our call ended.
Since Kim announced that there were so many interested parties, why is Warwick Mills the company's only partner or signed agreement? Why haven't the company's breakthroughs resulted in more agreements or partnerships?
Well, I think I'll hand this question off to John, but let me say it preliminarily. One issue has been the amount of quality material we could supply. There has been a lot of interest from various parties, but we are limited in how much quality material we can supply. Frankly, we're not supplying Warwick Mills with all the material that they would like, and it really does not make sense for us to sign an agreement with another company to promise them materials which we're not able to promise them. And when we talk with other companies, that's the first thing we address with them. We tell them, look, here's where we're at. This is what we have in production. This is what it's going to take to work with us. Frankly, we found people are interested enough in the material that they're willing to wait. John?
Yeah, I guess there are actions going on behind the scenes. I'm daily talking with a number of different potential partners, trying to identify who the best fit for our technology is going to be and what aspect of the market that they can bring to Craig Labs. So we talk about our work with Warwick Mills, and we're very proud of that work, and we're excited to see where that's going to go forward. But that's not the only avenue that we as a company are exploring.
When do you expect to have your first commercial sale? What will be the first industry for Monster Silk's maiden voyage into the materials world? And are you able to name clients for each fiber developed by the company
John, you want to take this one?
Sure. We're expecting to have our first commercial sales in 2016. I have a pretty good idea of exactly who that's going to be. Like I mentioned in my last response, we are identifying different channel partners, different companies that have expertise in certain areas of the market that we think we have an opportunity to penetrate. Technical textiles, fashion apparel, medical equipment, defense applications. There are right partners that we're finding in each of those areas. So is there any one that I would name? No, not at this point, but we are exploring all of those individual channels, and we have identified companies in each of those areas that we would like to team with and that we've begun conversations with.
John Rice has a strong record of developing military markets, and recent global events appear to place an even greater focus on the already huge anti-ballistics market. What is John doing to open up that market? What is the likelihood of KBLB working with the military in the near future? What are the plans to renew John's contract?
Okay, so first of all, Craig has responded to expressions of interest from the U.S. government, and we do hope to be providing materials to them for evaluation in 2016. In regards to John's contract, frankly, I'm very pleased with John's work. I think that in the coming months, it may hopefully be much clearer to everyone how John's efforts have really improved the fundamentals here at Craig Labs. I would anticipate that we will be renewing John's contract for 2016.
For the record, John Rice did not submit that last question, but the upcoming is the last question of this conference call. And I hope I'll give you guys a few minutes to wrap it up after this question. In any case, the recent price action and current valuation are head-scratchers for many followers. If you were to evaluate KBLB today, what would you price that and why? If I were a new investor considering Craig Labs, what would you say to me that would make me want to invest in you?
Okay, so that's another good question. So our valuation. Frankly, as the CEO, I do feel that the company is undervalued. That's my personal feeling. I don't feel that our current price per share truly reflects the nature of the technologies we've developed, where we are in terms of being on the edge of commercialization. I think that there are a lot of underlying fundamentals of this company that are not really reflected in the valuation model. And I know from my perspective, and this is my subjective perspective here, is that many aspects, for example, internal quality control among our transgenic lines, which is critical to the growth and development of this technology, this has improved dramatically in the short period of time, 10 months since John Rice has joined the company. And that's largely because of the nature of John's education and his dedication to that particular aspect of this technology. In my opinion, that has significantly improved this company. And yet, we don't see those improvements reflected in the market cap. So I do think that we are undervalued, and I think that undervaluation is the result of many of these significant improvements in our technology and where the company is poised not being reflected in the valuation model. And my view that we're undervalued is bolstered by what we've been seeing in the marketplace, where there has been significant institutional investment into projects developing recombinant silk fibers. And these are in projects which, from our perspective, are based upon inferior technologies. And we've seen investments that would indicate market valuations of many times what Craig Labs has. That further reinforces my view that one, some of the big players think that there is a tremendous market for these types of materials, for this class of product. And I think that further reinforces the whole entire premise of what we're doing. But it also, as a CEO, I can't help but think that this also reflects on our market cap and the fact that we are, in my opinion, undervalued. Ben, thank you for hosting this call. To our shareholders, again, I want to say thank you. You're an important part of this company. We couldn't do what we're doing. We couldn't have had the technologies and the breakthroughs that we've developed without your help and your participation. I think this company has a great future. I know this technology has an excellent future. Together, we have been laying the groundwork to harvest the rewards for all that we've been doing since, frankly, since 2006. Now, in terms of timelines for developing new technologies, for example, as was pointed out to me earlier today, Kevlar, look how long it took DuPont with all of its resources to go from the first laboratory creations of Kevlar to commercial sales. I believe it took approximately a decade and investments of very large sums of money. I think given where we started from a technology concept in 2006 to being really on the verge of commercialization now in 2015, and doing that really by bootstrapping, not with extravagant budgets, but by bootstrapping, taking what we've done at each level and building upon that internally, I think that we are now on the verge, hopefully, of being in a position to begin reaping the rewards as we move to commercialization, as we move to production, we're in a location with viable infrastructure. I want to thank you for being on this ride with us, and I look forward to communicating with you over the coming months.
I appreciate the kind words, Kim. John, do you have anything to add?
I just wanted to thank the shareholders for taking the time today to hear Kim and I talk about how excited we are to see this company grow right alongside with them.
Well, great call, gentlemen, and I'd also like to thank everybody for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks, shareholders.